Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Chaz Ware, 2x2 Ministry here on Addictive Love, hijacking it. Once again, our host, Elder Robert Gould, is out. I'm your co-host here with another fantastic follow-up on our discussion on our last show. We had spoken with Pastor Michael Blair, Pastor Wendell Stanley, about some great opportunity for you to be a servant of Christ here in our community in Omaha, Nebraska, through Cornerstone Heartland Church, a lot of different work that they're doing. You heard about it. Now we get an opportunity to dissect and kind of dive deep into some of those inner workings that go on. We got one of the teachers here, we got the pastor, and we got the overseer. Amen. I'm just an interviewee. Amen. We're just going to get with it today. Amen. We want to welcome Pastor Michael Blair. We want to welcome Elder Norman Haldeman and Bishop Wendell Stanley. Brother, amen. We all brothers because we all servants of Christ. Amen. Praise God. I'd like to ask Brother Norman if you would lead us in a word of prayer, my brother.
Heavenly Father, I come to you in prayer this morning because we have a lot of things in this world that are needing help. You are the supreme example and the supreme provider of all that help. We come to you today in the name of Jesus because that's what we've been told to do. We thank you for the blood of Christ that has washed us clean from the sin that was in our lives and for the power of that blood to continually wash us and keep us clean day by day. I pray this morning that others that we speak through to will do in their hearts what you alone can convict them to do, and that is to serve Christ through thankfulness as a result of what he's done for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Elder. We're going to hear a lot from Norman on this show and as well from Pastor Michael Blair about a lot of the inner workings that they do to help and assist a lot of these individuals from the four shelters that they provide a lot of service to when it comes to feeding them physically, feeding them spiritually, emotionally, and as well as helping them with means of employment, of housing, and many different levels. So we want to start first. I want to ask, well, thank AKG Environmental, once again, our sponsor. But we want to, Michael Blair, pastor, on the last show, you were able to expound about who you are as the pastor and what you gentlemen do at Cornerstone Heartland Church. Could you just real quick for our listeners reiterate that information for them? Your contact information, so forth, and services.
That's Pastor Michael Blair with Cornerstone Heartland Church. My contact info is 402-214-5252. We're a ministry that goes out and we serve, I guess, all four of the homeless shelters, Lydia House, Francis House, the Open Door Mission, and the Joshua House of Council Plus. We bus them in. We bring them in for a service on Friday nights at 7. Then there's a men's Bible study there also Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. That's with a breakfast as well. On Sunday, we have dinner at 6 and church service at 7 o'clock Sunday night. And also, we have a women's prayer Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock. Those are the services that we provide. But one thing I was want to get into is also is we have a discipleship house that we started up here. Me and my uncle started up here about 2 years ago. So we have a CDP, Cornerstone Discipleship Program. It's a program for sober living, 6 month to a year program, and comes with a discipleship class. The men have Bible study there twice a week. Norm here, he does one of the Bible study classes there on Wednesday nights. Then they have church service. Both church services they have to go through, and also they maintain a full-time job, or we give them a couple weeks to get a job when they come in there, so the ability to get them back on their feet and to get, you know, get Christ back in their life and to get restored. Our goal here in 2026 is to get a woman's house set up.
Amen.
So that's what we need some funding for as well, some help on getting a woman's house. We got a men's house now, but we have a goal that in 2026 to get a women's discipleship program going. I'm going to turn it on over to Norm here today. He's going to tell you a little bit about the class they do and what the men are learning in his class, what he's teaching them. Coach Norman?
Yeah, I have the privilege of working with these guys and a program that has been started about 15 years ago, and it has been in several different places, and I have been so excited about the kind of response I've got in the lives of people that have been there. Most of the reason has to do with the fact that it's based on the Word of God. We call it stand-up. It's an acrostic for study, train, achieve, necessary, development, unleashing possibilities. And as the possibilities we deal with, the peace that comes, John 3:18 talks about, if you believe in me, you're not condemned. However, those who do not believe in me are condemned already because they haven't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God in John 3:18. It's also a partnership. This brings me to the scripture of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We're moving into what our purpose is, and purpose is coming up through Romans 12:1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we kind of focus on that reasonability of what that is. Then in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. We focus on what that means, that there is a purpose and a perfect will of God, and our purpose should be equal to that. And in that process, we come to the fact that the perfect will of God is that we build a life of faith. And so we come into Hebrews 11:6, which tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So those that are seeking him comes in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. These are things that we teach them. They memorize these scriptures, and the reason we go through this memorization program is because the Word tells us to study the Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study the Word to show ourselves approved unto God, not unto ourselves or unto anybody else, but to our Heavenly Father. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this. I'm getting two scriptures mixed together here, so you'll pardon me for a minute. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, is what he's asked us to do. Hallelujah. If we're being obedient to that, we are finding ourselves in a right relationship with Christ, because obedience is required according to Romans 6:16. It says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So if obedience is required for righteousness, we find that in most of our lives, there are all kinds of selfish things in our lives that cause us to be disobedient, because we want what we want rather than what God's want. Unless we are wanting to please him through faith in what he wants, then we move out in that faith era, and that can only happen through the Word of God again. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we're busy studying that Word and hearing that Word of God, the Holy Spirit does a work in us. This is something that I teach every day. The Holy Spirit is the only thing that helps, because the Scripture tells us in John 14:26, excuse me for just a minute, in John 14:26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. He's made a promise there. That promise is that he would teach us, and then when the time comes and need comes, he would not only teach us, but he would indeed remind us when Satan is attacking us.
The reminder.
Amen.
Let me, I gotta dive into something. I'm going to ask Wendell this.
Okay.
Pastor Wendell, those of you who tuned into our last show, He's like the overseer. He's helping lift up these men's arms by the grace of God until the Lord tells him to go on, right? He's like myself. You know, he goes where the Lord sends him, and then he toils, and then he goes wherever the Lord sends him. One thing that I've gained about the discipleship from talking to Pastor Mike, talking to Elder Norm, at the discipleship house, and I know you shared one of these stories with me, so I want to, you gentlemen, when he's done, can chime in however you would like to, because I want to get all you gentlemen's brief insight on this. But there is a strength of accountability held there, as well as individuals to be sober-minded. As a pastor, preacher, where do you feel the importance of that lies?
Well, the discipleship house
principally is modeled after what Jesus did when he chose 12 and expanded to 72. And we even see in his life ministry where some said, well, I want to follow you, but I got to go do this. And he said, well, he went on about his way. And some of them walked away sad when he gave them the requirements of being his follower. But what we tell men in no uncertain terms, unapologetically, you must follow as we follow Christ. We say, follow our example. Don't just do. We say, do. We do.
Amen.
Which keeps us on the cross, keeps us crucified. And yeah, we've had moments where we've blown our stack. We've lost our demeanor. We deal with real life issues. These men are struggling with real everyday life stuff. And they're coming from horrendous backgrounds as we are. You know, like I don't want to get unpack this, but I was born and raised by a man who did a lot of scandalous stuff before his relationship with Christ. And he made some mistakes after Christ because he was human, as we are. So we don't turn anybody away. For the most part, if you come to us and we got a bed and you got any possibility coming up with rent in the next 2 weeks, we'll give you a chance. But if you prove to be a rebel against Christ, as Mike said earlier, I play bad cop. I get pretty fierce. And it hadn't come to blows yet. I've had a few men threaten me there. I've had some stand up over me and shout at me and say, nobody wants you here. But I just hold my ground, and Pastor Mike holds his ground, and we do what God has gifted us to do. We love them unconditionally, and we try to melt them over the grace of Christ. And when they leave, they usually leave on their own terms. I'm trying to think. It's one gentleman that I said, pack up right now at that moment, because he was on his last leg after many violations, and he opened up a pornographic video and try to get me to smile at him as he watched it in front of me. And that's a violation of our house rules. We believe in sobriety from all addictions, all distractions, all idolatry, and all immorality. And when he did that, I felt like that was a slap in Jesus' face, and I could not smile at that. So I packed him up and moved him out within an hour. Accountability is serious because we don't want to defy Christ over loving each other.
Amen. But Elder Norman, before I have you go on some of the things that you dealt with or when it talks about discipline, accountability, and sober-mindedness on the Wednesdays that you teach and the firmness that I know you bring, the truth that you bring, I want to just highlight that not only is there sober-mindedness required in the discipleship house and accountability, but also for every born-again believer out there. We don't want to act as if on today on Addictive Love as if we're just talking about those in this discipleship house. We're calling out folks out there today, right?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
those
sir.
Of you out there
yes,
as well, sir. We're counting for sober-mindedness
yes,
and accountability.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So we just want to, once again, we're going to turn over to Elder Norman to speak on what his accountability holds to those in whom he teaches on those Wednesday nights. But we just want to thank EKG Environment, our sponsor, once again. It's in your hands, Elder.
I think the important thing for me to let everybody know when I'm teaching is that at 79 years old, I have had a few trips around the block, and I have many failures, but I don't talk about my failures because there's no glory in failures. There's only glory on the other side of those failures and what God has done. I can tell somebody I fell. I don't have to go into detail. And I tried to protect my wife for many years because it's very embarrassing for her if I'm out there, and it's happened a couple times, where I would get real serious about what I had done, and I recognized that it didn't really help matters a whole lot. So what I've tried to do with these guys is bring them into a place where they understand it's not about what I say. It's about what God's Word says. It's about what the Holy Spirit says. If he's our teacher, and if he's a reminderer, as we put it that way, we try to get people to understand in the class that they're not going to be arguing with me. They're going to be arguing with what the Word says. And if they've got some valid complaint, they need to sit down, look at the verse over and over, and let us cut it down. Number one thing about the class that I'm trying to teach is the Bible is full of if-then scenarios. That's if-then scenarios. Jesus said in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek their face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will not only forgive their sin, but I also will heal their land, and I will open my ears to what they have to say, and I will also open my eyes. these are things that he's promised, and he is faithful. We teach about his faithfulness by going through the whole Old Testament and the New Testament with various verses that prove beyond a shadow of doubt this is what God's word says, this is what his expectations are. If we're going to do that, we have two things to look at. Number one, we have the thing of paradise and what's going to happen in the kingdom. But the kingdom starts now as soon as we are accepting Christ. His Holy Spirit moves in and lives within us, but we can kick him out by just totally being disobedient all the time. That doesn't mean that he's not with us, but his residence will not be in a temple that is unholy. So he will be on the outside until we receive him on the inside. And that means we let him tell us through the word and through his spirit what his conviction is and what we should be doing. And the thing that I find the most difficult with people today is they see a lot of people who say one thing and do another, and they call themselves Christians. And I don't see that Jesus holds that very high. I see he says some things very strongly in the New Testament where he says, guess what? If you're not being obedient to my word, you're not with me. You're not my friend. I didn't say that. The word says it in John. So I just want to consistently remind them that his love is unconditional, but he does have conditions.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Man, that's deep. You know, I'm Pastor Michael Blair. I want you to also give the meaning for you as the pastor, the strength and what it takes to continue to go back and forth with these gentlemen as Pastor Wendell kind of alluded to, but speaking about the sober-mindedness, accountability, and then give those listeners out there a little bit more information about the CDP. And if there's an opportunity for them to assist, how can they reach out to you to do so?
Awesome. Like I said, Cornerstone Discipleship Program. A lot of these guys, as Wendell was saying, that we bring in are guys that are in the house right now. They're growing. They say use discernment. But also, I've seen the guy who have the best presentation, but maybe the one that would backslide first.
Right.
So, and the guy that looks like he ain't gonna make it at all, be the one that makes it. So that's hard to kind of just judge off like a person who's doing the best job interview.
Right.
We give grace. And we, like Wendell said, we've given grace. I mean, we've had guys. What we need to do is we need to crack down and realize when you're being it's hard to discern when you're getting taken advantage of sometimes. Mm. But that's kind of like how I lived. That's why I try to live with mercy and grace a little bit, because I knew I needed more than one chance. I couldn't get it my very first time.
Amen.
Sometimes I had to fall down plenty of times before I finally realized I was tired of falling down.
Amen.
But it is a sober living house. There is rules. There's a list of rules. There's a list of responsibilities. It's just like if you've ever been to a halfway house or a three-quarter way house before, but it's just Christian-based. It's not AA-based. It's not NA-based. It's faith-based.
Amen.
But that's AA, NA. They all brings out the center point is God.
Amen.
And that's where it all boils down to. If you got to find God or you're going to die.
Amen.
And that's our goal, is to teach them what God is and to show the love and the mercy and also be in discernment, you know, and God, help everybody else feel safe as well. Because
right.
We've had instances there. I'm not going to get into those drama and those details, because the main thing there is you're going to come into a Christian faith-based program. Praise you want to turn your life around and get it turned around through Christ, we have an opportunity for you.
Amen.
It's sober living. There's some rules you got to abide by. I mean, then they're not tough rules. But if you're following Christ, the rules ain't that hard anyway.
Right.
If you're going to be rebellious and you know, you're going to have consequences, you're going to have restrictions, you're going to have punishment, and you're going to have discipline, just like the Lord disciplines us when we're doing wrong.
Right.
Amen.
So one thing I think about the guy that I set out because of that video, he tried to get me to enjoy with him. He came to church Sunday night, and I had a moment on the sidewalk out front where I entreated him on another matter, and he was smiling. So he still knows he's loved. So in no way do we ever retract Christ's love or our love for them. we do draw a boundary and say we can't tolerate certain behavior, mm-hmm. and we encourage them to overcome that misbehavior so we can have joyful relationships.
To that same point, I found that in the teaching of this, I get pretty boisterous sometimes in the sense that hallelujahs are pretty loud because I see something that's it's like a sparkle, something that causes me to be
hallelujah
very very strong in what I'm feeling. I also sometimes will make a little slap on the table and say, hey, I need you to understand something. Because when I get through with all this, everybody knows that regardless of what I've said or how I've said it, I come back and I demonstrate the love of Christ in them individually as much as I can. And one of the things that I found out in a short order, a matter of like 2 or 3 weeks from a time when I thought there was nothing but rebellion in the room, I had people coming back to me and thanking me for being as straight and honest as I've been, because I am honest about me too.
Right.
And in the process of that, I get hugs. And that's satisfying to me. Last night in my class, a brand new person says, why do you do this? That was his question. Why do you do this? Mm-hmm. And I had to tell him, because I was where you were. But God did some things in my life. Things that I was afraid to even say to people for the longest time in the truth about miraculous things that God had done, because I was afraid somebody would think, this guy's nuts. He really has a conversation with God. He's really been lifted by angels out of dangerous situations. We just won't even go on.
Praise God.
Place after place after place where God's been faithful in my 79 years. Many of those places, I look back and I say, wow, I can't believe this. But when I'm honest with them and tell them that it was in spite of me, not because of me, they understand I'm putting myself as their servant, not as somebody that has some sort of position over them.
Hey man, I'm gonna throw a wrench in it right now. I want to ask y'all a question. Give y'all about a minute to answer each one. What would you say out there? Because as those of you listeners who heard our last show and are here today, these men are working. These men are toiling. They're plowing the field. We didn't even mention the one-on-ones, the group Bible studies, the revivals, the street ministries. We didn't even mention none of those things yet, right? Yeah. That other men do on their own personal time and that we collaborate to do in alliance and together. But what would you say out there to someone out there right now who's been going to church every Sunday, holding their Bible tight, but don't ever pick it up and read it, know what the scripture calls for them to do, but don't ever do it? I call them a bench warmer. And in 1 minute, what would you do to encourage them today? Here you go, Pastor Wendell.
There's a memory verse that's on Norm's list that the guys are learning. I put it to music years ago when I was a teenager. It's 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What know ye not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body, with your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. I yield the time.
Amen.
Wow.
1 Corinthians 6:19-20.
I like to sing, but I got to learn that lyric, not the lyrics, but the tune to that. The bottom line for me is I need you to ask the question, and I really got taken away.
In 1 minute's time, what would you say to someone out there who has not been getting busy? They're just walking right now in a form of godliness, and they're a bench warmer. What would you say about the work that you do that encourages you, that will encourage them?
Well, I go to a couple scriptures. One of them found in the book of Revelation. Jesus says, I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's straight from Revelation. I can't give you the exact place in there, and that's not normal because my guys will hold me accountable for that. They know I do that. But the bottom line is, he's talking about the Church of Laodicea, and he says, that's what he says, I will vomit you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. So what it tells me is God understands people who don't know. But he says he holds us responsible. If we know, we'll be held accountable for what we don't use of what we know.
Amen. Mm. Right. Pastor Michael Blair.
Well, if you guys seen the session before this, I think I just read this in Matthew 25. So if you got your Bibles, you're going to church, I'm going to tell you, like he was saying, as they got their Bibles, they're not opening them up, why don't you guys open it up? Matthew 25, go from 31 to 46, and ask yourself, do you want to be a sheep or a goat?
Very good.
Amen.
Very good.
Very good.
Mic
y'all
drop.
On point, man. God is so good,
very
man.
Good.
These brothers, I will say, today, I've toured with these brothers in the Lord. We work together in the ministry, and we thank God for the kindred spirit that he's given us all to toil, to work, to roll up our sleeves, and to get dirty in the ministry. If you want to, say for instance, you're someone out there listening, and you have an individual that's going through something, you want to reach out to Cornerstone Heartland Church. Not only do you want to volunteer, but maybe you have someone in your family who's dealing with addiction. Maybe you have someone in your family that's dealing with something. They're about to get out of jail, out of prison. You need them to contact someone to help, to minister, to hold them accountable from the things in which they've done, and they need to get right with the Lord. You can contact Pastor Michael Blair, Elder Norman Haldeman, or Pastor Wendell Stanley, Cornerstone Heartland Church, 1501 North 33rd Street off of Charles Street, 33rd. They have services Friday. Please come on out, 7 p.m., 8 a.m. Bible study on Saturday mornings. Sunday, service 7 p.m., but dinner served at 6 p.m. They're still looking for volunteers. Looking for volunteers not only to donate food, to help out, or anyone looking to drive a bus, cook food, prepare food, bring food. You can contact Pastor Michael Blair, 402-214-5252. Hey, man, please reach on out, y'all, because I know that someone's heart right now is like, how do I contact them? How do I reach out? How do I reach out? I just told you. You can come visit in person, or you can contact Pastor Michael Blair for any of your Holy Spirit-led gifts. Man, this has been a wonderful time. Okay. I'm going to leave Pastor Michael Blair with one more word, then we'll have Pastor Wendell Stanley dismiss us in prayer.
And also, if you got somebody out there is battling for that addiction or you're trying to get their life back around, you want to contact us about the Men's Discipleship House, too. Give us a call, and we got some applications we can go through and go through a screening on you. 402-214-5252. Michael Blair or Wendell at 402-306-8454. And Norman?
402-612-0275.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hey, can I interrupt for just a second and say
this? Just a quick second.
All I'm trying to say is this man and the team that I'm with, I am most privileged to be working with them because it's been a lot of years where God has been preparing me for a very service time like this.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, I just want to thank you right now for allowing us to stand in the gap. You built the bridge, and now we stand in the gap to get others to that bridge to cross over into eternal life with you. Help us, Lord, to be better examples of the throne of grace, seeking grace and mercy to help in a time of need, that others might be encouraged to come there too, and let all of your enemies be made your footstool. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, hallelujah, we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise Jesus. And we want to thank our sponsor, EKG Environmental. God bless you.